by First Baptist Church, brought an opportunity for me to welcome back to these microphones somebody who has an excellent nonprofit that she represents, Big Brothers Big Sisters, and Charlene Dew. Nice to have you back in here this morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, Bowl for Kids' Sake, I know we think of it as kind of a March event. March is over, and you may have some results, or at least some good things to talk about for Bowl for Kids.
We do. Our events are the end of February, and we usually try to wrap
all the things up early part of March.
We do have our wrap-up celebration luncheon on April the 27th,
okay,
where we'll be announcing the top fundraisers and top teams, giving out awards, of course.
Of course.
We want to recognize and thank our sponsors. Our presenting sponsor again this year was DSR, and our campaign sponsors were Arvest, ConocoPhillips, Phillips 66, and Sitel, and without them, and all the other sponsors that we have, it would be not as successful as it is.
Yeah, if they weren't underwriting the expense of all the bowling events and all the other things they do to underwrite the events, all those little people who sign up and pledge their dollars wouldn't make nearly the difference that they do.
Right, all of the sponsors that we have, and we have sponsors from $250 to $5,000. So there's quite a number of sponsors, and they underwrite all the costs of the campaign. So the money that the participants, the bowlers, raise goes directly to service.
And that's kind of where it's all about, serving the populations that, I know you do more than Bartlesville, Dewey, but I tend to think of it because that's where I get to talk to you. So
yeah, we serve Washington County.
Yeah. And I thought we'd spend a little bit of time this morning just talking about the program and the success stories and maybe getting a spark of interest on maybe somebody who said, well, I really don't know much about you guys, so what can you tell me about the program overall? I know it matches a older person, typically an adult or high school-aged student, depending on which program we're talking about, with somebody younger and probably in need of some mentorship.
Correct. Big Brothers Big Sisters provides one-to-one mentors for vulnerable children in our community. We have two programs. One is a community-based program where the volunteer, the mentor, must be 18 years or older, and the activities take place in the community. So they're going to be as varied as the people involved. Mm-hmm. Then we have the site-based or school-based program, and those mentors can be either high school students that are 15 and a half and a junior or sophomore or junior, or they could be a college student or an adult.
Okay, so a lot of differences there in the two programs, but basically it's still hooking a good mentor up with somebody who has a need for that.
Right. The site-based mentors meet at the child's school during the after-school program hours, sort of 3:30 to 4:30-ish, and they must stay on campus.
No, that kind of, I won't say it takes the pressure off as finding something to do, but it does take a little bit of pressure off as finding some place to go. So,
well, and for our high school, it does give us the opportunity to use high school students because site-based mentors cannot transport mm-hmm. children. And the high school, we have awesome high school mentors. We really do.
It's been a few years, but I had the opportunity to talk to some of the student mentors at that time, and they couldn't say enough good stuff about it. It was just a tremendous day, or 2 days, I guess, that I got to talk with students. And the look on their face, you could tell they were just hyped about what was going on. They had made a friend and also felt like they were making a difference in somebody's life.
Right. And if you think about when you were in elementary school, because high school mentors are matched with students in grades 1 to 5. And so, you know, if you're in the fifth grade and you're somebody who was in high school, was pretty old.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Pretty old and pretty awesome. And so, we've had a high school, we're the only site in the state that does high school mentors.
Wow.
And we have some really awesome high school mentors.
Well, let's talk about the program and see if we can just inform people about what's going on. I don't want to, we talked about the awards, but I guess we can. But that's coming up later on. Is there something you can talk about, really, that says these characteristics most of the time really make a good big? That
right. Well, we say that if you know how to be a friend and you have a heart for kids, then you can be a good mentor.
Mm-hmm.
We ask for people to make at least a 1-year commitment And hope that it's 2 years or longer. Our average match length is about 3 years, but we only ask for a one-year commitment because nobody knows what they're doing beyond that. The longer the match, research has proven, the longer the match with one mentor, the more benefit to the child. Mm-hmm. So, and what sets Big Brothers Big Sisters apart is two things. One is the screening, the thorough screening that we do on the front end, but it's also the professional support of that match once it's made. So we have professional staff that support the mentor, the child, and the parents during the length of that match relationship. And that helps to make the matches last longer, because as you know, questions come up or kids move from one kind of transition from one developmental stage to another, then it's the staff are there to help the volunteer or the parent or the child to kind of make that transition.
Well, yeah, I mean, your staff can easily say, well, you know, you may this experience, whatever it is, may be new to you, but we've seen it over the years, and we can say, you know, here are some suggestions, try this, and these strategies work 99% of the time.
Right, and first, a lot of our mentors are they're either single, married with no kids. So they don't have that experience. Mm-hmm. And if they haven't had a lot of experience growing up because they had a lot of siblings or babysat or whatever, then it's like, well, is this typical behavior for a 10-year-old, you know? And we're like, pretty much,
yeah.
You know? But here are some ways to guide that. Our mentors also tend to be empty nesters, people whose kids have gone off to college or maybe even in high school, but they're wanting to do more hands-on activities, and their 16 and 17-year-old is moving on to other things.
Mom, I'm getting as far away from you as I can get.
Right,
I know I live in their house, but I don't want to be seen sitting next to you in the car.
Yeah, there you go. And so, I mean, we've had, you know, men come in and say, you know, I've raised three daughters, and I've always wanted a son, but I don't want to have any more kids, so I thought I'd get a little brother to go fishing with. And
the girls will play baseball with me up to a while, and then they're done.
Yeah, there you go. And so really it's about, you know, involving a child in things that you're already doing. The most successful matches are the ones where the mentor looks at, you know, what am I doing that I could involve a child in? And so, you know, and leaves those really, you know, activities like the special concert or the special this or that to the special times.
Mm-hmm.
Because and I always say it's like your friends. If the friends that you can just hang out with, and they can just drop by and you can just spend time with, mm-hmm. you spend more time with than the ones where everything has to be perfect and you have to have tickets and you have to do all these extra things. Those are special times that and the more that a mentor involves a child in things they're already doing, teaches them how to enjoy a rainy day, you know, take a walk in the park and do things that don't cost money. Those are things that are going to be left when that mentor moves on, as they most likely will.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we really encourage them to do. When I had I've had four little sisters over the years, and we spent a lot of time baking cookies. We played cards. We went to the playground. We just hung out on Saturday. You know, we played a lot of board games.
And those are the experiences that the young person, as an adult, when they do these same sort of things, then that memory has to come back to you.
Right. Now, you know, board games aren't as popular today as they used to be.
We do it online now, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, but we baked a lot of cookies and made meals together and went to concerts and things like that, because that's what, you know, we both like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that has a well-adjusted life, is pretty flexible and understanding, and they're willing to involve a child in things, teach them new things, maybe just share their experiences. A lot of the children in our program have not had the opportunity to do many things that we take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And so just sharing those things with them broadens their world.
And so doing things together with a friend is kind of the things that you would think of then, I guess, is what I'm, if I were to put in one oversimplified right. sentence.
Right, right.
But for the brand new big, and I know you're there with all kinds of information and suggestions for the first several meetings, isn't the pressure on them to do those special things, that special concert or go to someplace special just to
no.
start?
No.
Okay.
In fact, we would say that the way you need to start your match out is doing the ordinary, everyday, you know, things, whatever that is for the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
If it may be, you know, going to the park and feeding the ducks or going to McDonald's and getting a Coke or something like that. Because when you, and sometimes we have mentors who want to see their little, like, three times this week because it's new, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, you can't keep that pace up. And so if you start out with two or three times a week, then when you drop back to regular, like once a week or mm-hmm. once every 10 days, then the child feels like you're not seeing them anymore.
What'd I do? What's
yeah,
wrong?
Yeah. yeah. So don't do that. And so we really counsel people to pace it, to be dependable. The most important thing for a mentor is to be dependable and to be someone that the child can trust to do what they say they're going to do. And we say the commitment is a few hours a few times a month.
Hmm.
So that because everybody's schedule is different, and so and kids can deal with it. If you say next week we won't be able to get together because I'm out of town or I have a big audit at work or whatever, but we'll get together the following week, as long as you tell them, you know, because if you think about it, that's what the way you're building skills for how do you have adult friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, you may see each other, but you may not, but you still keep in touch.
That's kind of a good idea. We will continue with Charlene Dew and get you some details on how the program works when we continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Continuing our time on A Community Connection with Charlene Dew, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And Charlene, I'm sure that you have a supply of youngsters that always seems to exceed the number of volunteers that are willing to come out and spend some time with them.
Yes, that's generally the case. We always have a waiting list, and we're working very hard at trying to keep the waiting list down so where the kids aren't waiting for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is the amount of mentors that we can recruit. So I would encourage anybody who's ever thought about, gee, you know, I could share my life experience with a young person, to give us a call to find out more information. We have 25 children on the waiting list.
Wow.
And every week we add more because we have more referrals. We have referring agencies that are calling us, wanting us to serve more kids. And the number of children we can serve is limited by two things. One is money and the other is mentors. And at this point, it's the mentors. The waiting list right now is split about evenly between boys and girls.
I guess that's good because seemingly you have more boys than you have girls that are available.
Right. Typically, we would have more boys. More boys are referred, more families are being single parents. A lot of the time are women mm-hmm. raising children. Our age groups are. The age group we have the most of right now are 10 to 12. So we have some 7 to 9-year-olds, about 6 of those, and then about 7 of the 13 to 15 age range. So, but most of them are in that 10 to 12, which is that 7 to 12 age is a really good, you know, high ability to influence
mm-hmm.
how they're growing up. The 13 to 15, you can still make a significant difference in the path that they choose. But it's just a little bit harder because you're already, there's already paths been chosen, you know.
Yeah, so, they've already made more choices somewhere along the line.
Right, right. But if you have a heart for that age group, you can make some significant difference in how they, whether they graduate from high school or the choices that they're making now that are going to follow them into adult life, you know. We have all ethnicities that we're serving. We need some African American bags. We need some Native American bags. And then most are, we have some Hispanic children, mm-hmm. Caucasian children. So, and we really do try to match children with the same ethnic background, if that's what the parent and the family have requested.
It makes sense. I hate to say it, but it probably is easier to make that connection with somebody that looks more like you.
Well, I think it's, yeah, I think it is. The role modeling is just, it's just an easier mm-hmm. piece.
Yeah.
We've had our kids that we've had, 11 of those children have been waiting longer than 6 months, which is a long time. To yeah. us, it's like, oh my goodness, it's already April. I just thought it was January 2nd a few minutes ago, you know. But for 6 months to a child is a long time. And then when they have to start waiting more than a year, I mean, that's a whole school year. It's a whole year of development. So we do really need some mentors. Their interests of the waiting children range from arts and crafts to movies, animals, playing outside, camping, fishing, sports, video games, which we are not real keen on encouraging, partly because it's harder to have an engaged conversation around that, and a lot of those are solitary kinds of things.
Yeah, it's hard because a lot of the kids, as I assume anyway, are playing the games on their device as opposed to something with a keyboard or joystick or going back too far. It's tough to be playing the same game together.
Yeah, right. So, well, and we're such an we're driven so much by technology these days that mm-hmm. it's good to get back to just the basics of relationships, like talking and doing things together that don't involve an electronic device.
Yeah.
And most of our kids, their greatest need is someone to listen to them, someone to believe in them, just somebody to help them boost their self-confidence, maybe learn how to have some better peer friendships, mm-hmm. encourage their academic, their success in academics, social skills, please, thank you. How do you talk to adults? How do you behave at a concert or a public event?
Mm-hmm.
All the things that we take for granted a lot of times.
Sure. If somebody is interested, maybe you mentioned couples or empty nesters or just people who have some willingness to help out, how do they start the process? A phone call or stop by?
They can simply call our office. My direct line is 918-213-4524. We're in the phone book. And we'll be happy to answer any questions. So they don't have to feel like if you call, you're committing yourself. You can simply call and ask for more information. We'll be happy to share that with you.
And then you interview the potential big, find what their interests are, and then hopefully that affinity match to what the youngster's interests, you can match them up pretty well most of the time.
Right. We start with an application. We require background checks, criminal history, and driving record. We do three character references,
mm-hmm.
and then we do a personal interview. The point of the interview is for us to get to know the volunteer. What's the life experience they have? What are they bringing to the table? What's their personality? What are their interests? What kinds of things, what life experiences that they had that they feel like they could share? children are matched on the basis of personality, common interests, what the child's needs are, and what the volunteer skills are. Okay, and so volunteers will often come in and say, I've had these life experiences, and I think I could really help a child who's having similar things, whether it's the death of a parent or incarceration of a parent or whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
We also have mentors that come in and say, I've had these life experiences, and I don't want to revisit them, and so I don't want a child. I want a child that is not having those life things. And either answer is fine. It's just a matter of how does this mentor want to be involved in the program? And then we also do, on the child side, we do a interview with the parent and the child to assess the needs and the same things: personality, common interests, what is the best mentor for them. And the national staff will, once the volunteer's approved, will look at what's the best child, what's the match, what's the best match for that particular mentor. Then we do a match introduction that involves the parent, the child, and the volunteer. And then the staff have a contact once a month for the first year with all three parties.
And it's that first year contact that I know has helped cement the relationship and frequently make it work where it may or may not have in the, you know, if without it.
Right, and then the contacts go to quarterly, but they go back to monthly if there's any need in the relationship to do that. And sometimes there is, like, either there's something going on with the family or the volunteer or in the match relationship where there needs to be more support given. So, and that is how we have matches that are 3, 4, 5 years long.
Yeah, but it works, and it works so well. There is a youngster waiting for you. Stop by, give them a call, ask Charlene some questions, and it sounds as though you could be having some fun with the youngster real soon after the process works.
Thank you.
Thanks. Charlene Dew with us this morning on AM 1400 K1. Community Connection brought to you by First Baptist Church. And Charlene, one more time on the phone number, just because I think we only mentioned it once.
918-213-4524. It's look my direct
up,
line.
Look them up online or go to their website. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, our Community Connection on K1.
1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends,